prayer unleashes power for great awakenings of God. Today, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim discuss how the great moves in the past have been ushered in by the church through prayer. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Billy was just telling me that she loved me, and
I thought
that was so sweet.
I do too, Gloria.
I love her too. She's with us again. We've had a wonderful time in the Word, and we're not through yet. So this is Billy and Gloria coming to you from Eagle Mountain International Church. Hallelujah.
Yes, we are.
Glory to
and
God.
You know what? You need a good friend in the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Someone that you can talk about the Word.
That's the truth.
You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, it says, put these words in your heart and talk about them when you walk and talk about them with your children at the table. It's a way to live.
That can talk back to you.
That's right. Exactly.
Help us.
Yes.
Help each other.
And
glory
say how glad
God.
You are, you know, these things and praise God and,
thank you, Jesus.
And glory to God. Hallelujah. Because we live in a free land, Gloria.
That's right. Praise God.
And we're free because men have shed their blood.
That's right.
Preachers have dared to preach.
Yeah.
And even give their lives so that we could have liberty and have freedom.
Praise God.
And so we're here to talk about an awakening.
This has been so good, Billy.
The awakenings in the past that America was born out of. And not only born out of, but then like the Star Spangled Banner says, the Lord hath made us. And He has preserved us, a nation.
Yes, that's
so He's
right.
preserved. He made us through an awakening. He preserved us with an awakening we're going to talk about right
praise
today.
God.
But I want you to hear Brother Kenneth Copeland, a minister of God, a prophet of God, prophesy. This word of the Lord came while he was doing a television broadcast with David Barton right here in this studio. And April 2009, but it was going to be aired in July. Mm-hmm. And I want you to hear how he stopped right in the middle, put his hand to his chest, and gave the word of the Lord. We had it here yesterday. You need to hear it again. And if you weren't here yesterday for the first time, you can shout about it. Here it is.
Hallelujah.
This is the time that has been prophesied about. And at stake here is not only your welfare in the land, but also my move in the end times of a great awakening, saith the Lord. And it is that awakening that will save this land and others like it, for it is the time of the coming of the Lord. And you will rise up, and you will be my name, and you will be my power, and I will manifest myself through you, and many shall come and say, surely he is the God of all good.
How about that, Gloria?
That's great, isn't it? Praise the Lord.
Does it just knows that's God's will? He's going to give us a great awakening and expects us to do our part.
That's right.
You know, back in the great awakening out of which America
was... You know, the one thing they had to do in the great awakening was wake up.
They had to wake up.
That's right.
That church really and those ministers had been asleep.
Yeah.
But the great awakening came in answer to prayer.
Yeah. Praise God.
The people did what they needed to do. They prayed. We're going to talk about prayer today.
Good, good.
But we want to enlist you into a prayer army, God's prayer army. And... the Lord has told us concerning this, first of all, He tells us in 1 Timothy 2:1 that first of all, before we pray anything else,
that's
1 Timothy 2:1, read it, that we're to pray for our leaders, presidents, those in authority. And so we're asking people to pledge that they'll do it. We need leaders for a great awakening. We need spiritual leaders. This the Lord told us this one time. And we need civic leaders. And the Lord reminded us of Hannah. It was on Mother's Day. And how her prayers had literally prayed in Samuel. It was a terrible time for Israel, her son Samuel, and had prayed in the King Messiah. So she prayed in leaders at a time they need it. We need to pray in leaders. We need to pray for leaders. And if you'll do that, first of all, and you before you pray for anything else.
That's good, Billy.
We're enlisting you right now. We want you to sign up, enroll. We want you to call in and say, count me in.
Yep.
Every day when I pray, after I praise the Lord, the first request I'm going to make is going to be for our leaders.
Praise
and so we have a telephone number you can call. Just leave your name, or you don't even have to leave your name, but we want to count you. 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or you can go to billybrim.org, first of all, and follow the prompts. And then you can sign up, and if you want to, you can be meeting us down at August 20th, if you see this before that time, and many of you will. We'll be on the Washington Mall, and we'll be praying together at 7 o'clock in the evening. And we'll be taking authority, and we'll be praying for our country. And
praise
I want to have a list at that time, Gloria, that I can get to Vice President Pence, and I believe I can get it to him. And I want to say this many people have signed up that they're praying, first of all, for you guys.
First of all.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
Bless the Lord. Glory to God.
That's from God.
That's from God. I know it is from God. And thank you for the opportunity. I asked you if it'd be all right to say that on here, and you gave me that okay. And I know it's from the Lord, and I know it's going to change things, just like prayer changes things.
That's right.
That's been a statement that people have been making for a long
time. Now, what is that meeting called? Is
it we call it First of All on the Mall.
First of All on the Mall.
On the Mall. Mm-hmm. August 20th. First of All on the Mall. We're going to have T-shirts and everything. You need to register at billybrim.org, and then you'll get a packet, and you'll get a T-shirt. Bless the Lord. You don't have to wear it, but I'm going to be wearing mine. Bless the Lord. Now, prayer has changed things always. And prayer prayed in the First Great Awakening. And then when the United States would have, like, the second, the third generation would come after the Great Awakening, there they'd go, falling asleep again. And the United States of America fell asleep. And they were at very odds with each other over slavery in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And God is going to do, like it says in the Star Spangled Banner, He's going to preserve us a nation. He's going to send another great awakening. And it happened.
Praise
it was
God.
Glorious. But He had to send it through prayer. And it's so interesting how it started. It started with an awakening to prayer. An awakening to pray. In New York City, there was an Old North Church. The Old North Dutch Church was built in 1767, prior to the Revolutionary War. It was built by immigrants from Holland who settled New York and New Jersey. And for 60 or 70 years, it was crowded with people because it was a neighborhood where families lived. But by 1857, the rapid, almost 100 years, 90 years, the rapid and constant growth of the city of New York demanded ever-increasing accommodations for its trade and commerce.
Hmm.
So the families moved out. When the families moved out, the church building's still standing there, but the demographics around the church has changed. And now the old Dutch church on Fulton Street in New York City, it stood, Gloria, in the exact vicinity where the World Trade Center's Twin Towers stood, between West Street and Greenwich, crossing at Fulton.
Mm-hmm.
The church still maintained a board of elders and deacons, most of whom were the descendants of the early church founders, the Dutch builders. They had a heart to reach the large and completely changed population surrounding the church, but the church sat empty. All that went on around this was trade. New York City and trade. So they decided to hire Jeremiah Lampier. They decided to hire someone. Now, when I was teaching about this, someone gave me this book. It was Annie, actually. You know, they pastor a church in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called The New York City Noon Prayer Meetings. It's just about the prayer meetings that preceded the awakening. And so they hire Jeremiah Lampier. And he's a man that has been born again in the Finney revivals. He's a really, he's a good young man. He's dedicated. And he is going to work exactly like they tell him to do. He systematically draws a grid of the city. He knocks on all the doors. He knocks on all the warehouses. He goes out every single day and he invites them to come to the church and no one comes. And he wears himself out.
Hmm.
And so he decides to go up. He said one day he's just driven to pray. And he goes upstairs in the building to pray, and the power of God comes on him. And he is so energized by the prayer and the power of God, and something happens in him that encourages him to start to invite others to pray with him. Not just to come to the church, but come and pray with me. So I want them to show these to you. He prints some little advertisements that there's going to be a prayer meeting up here at noon. And he was led by God. I'm reading now from Revival Fire. You can see how I like this book. See how it's all come to pieces. I hope all the pages are in the order. So he invites the people, led by God, to start a noontime prayer meeting in which business people could meet for prayer. Anyone could attend for a few minutes or for the entire hour. The prayers were to be comparatively brief. He put a little sign up that they can't speak if they're leading out an individual prayer over 5 minutes. And they met on the third floor of the Old Dutch Reformed Church. And he left these little notices all around town. And the first day the prayer meeting is going to start. The first day is September 3rd, 1857. And Lampierre prayed alone for half an hour. But by the end of the hour, he heard them coming up the stairs. Six men from at least four denominational backgrounds joined him. The next Wednesday, and these were started on Wednesday, there were 20. On October 7, there were 40. The meeting was so blessed that they decided to meet daily. 1 week later, there were over 100 present, including many unsaved who were convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin. Within 1 month, pastors who had attended the noon prayer meetings in Fulton Street started prayer meetings in their own churches. Soon the places where the meetings were held were overcrowded. Men and women, young and old, of all denominations, met and prayed together without distinction. The meetings abounded with love for Christ, love for fellow Christians, love for prayer, love for witnessing. Those in attendance felt, here it is back again, an awesome sense of God's presence.
Praise God.
When you have the glory, when you have the presence, you don't have to have any gimmicks to get the people to come to church. They're going to come where the presence of God is manifest. Now, newspapers began to report on the meetings and the unusual spirit that was evident there. Within 3 months, similar meetings had sprung up all across America.
Wow.
Thousands began praying in these services and in their own homes. Gospel tracts were passed out. The three rooms at the Fulton Street Church were filled beyond capacity, and hundreds, they couldn't get anybody to come to church, but they got them to come to the prayer meeting, the church services, and hundreds of people had to find other places to pray because they couldn't get in around there. By early February, a nearby Methodist church was opened, and it was immediately overflowed. The balconies were filled. By March 19, and he had started, bless the Lord, in September. By March 19, a theater opened for prayers in New York City. All the churches were full. So a theater opened for prayer. And at half an hour before it was time to begin, people were turned away. Hundreds stood outside in the streets because they could not get inside. Mm-hmm. By the end of March, over 6,000 people met daily in prayer gatherings in New York City. Many churches added evening services for prayer. Meetings began in February in Philadelphia. They were soon in Boston, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Richmond, Virginia, Charleston, Savannah, Mobile, New Orleans, Vicksburg, Memphis, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Chicago. By the end of the fourth month, prayer fervor burned intensely across this nation.
Mama.
And America entered a new period of faith and prayer. Mm-hmm. Even the president of the United States, Franklin Pierce, attended many of the noontime prayer meetings. This is not a revival of powerful preaching. This was a movement of earnest, powerful, prevailing prayer. All people across the country were looking for a place to pray. Sinners would come and ask for prayer. In some towns, nearly the entire population became saved.
Praise God.
6 months prior
now,
to
what year? Tell me that year again.
1857.
Wow.
A spirit of prayer occupied the land as though, now listen to this, the church had suddenly discovered its real power.
Praise God.
The Presbyterian Magazine reported that as of May, there had been 50,000 converts. In February, a New York Methodist magazine reported a total of 8,000 conversions. The Louisville, Kentucky Daily Paper reported 17,000 Baptist conversions in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And according to a June statement, the conversion figure stood at 96,216 among the Baptists.
Praise God. Praise God. Is that in your book? Is this your book?
No, this is Revival Fire by Wesley Duell. God's glory then began to be seen, His presence across America. The Great Awakening of 1857 to 1859, and think what happened in 1860, the Civil War. But the awakening came in 1857.
So it started with prayer. Preceded the Civil War.
It preceded the Civil War, and Gloria, I've come to believe, we couldn't have made it through the Civil War without it.
We'd have destroyed ourselves.
I do believe the Civil War had to come. It was a judgment. The United States could have done what England did and abolished slavery, but we did not. And so it's going to be judged. But God's got to preserve the Republic. And what happened was this prayer prayed in a presence that was on both sides for the Civil War. The Great Awakening of 1857 through 1859, which began in the cities, it spread to the towns. The Washington National Intelligence reported in several New England towns, not a single unconverted person could be found.
Wow.
Of the 30 million people living in the United States, 2 million, nearly 2 million, were won to Christ during the revival.
That's awesome.
The moral change was so great across the country that the Louisville, Kentucky Daily Paper reported that the millennium had arrived. A canopy of God, this is entitled The Invisible Cloud of God's Presence. A canopy of holy and awesome revival influence, in reality the presence of the Holy Spirit, seemed to hang like an invisible cloud over many parts of the United States, especially over the eastern seaboard. At times this cloud of God's presence seemed to extend out to sea. Those on ships approaching the East Coast at times felt a solemn holy influence, even 100 miles away as a ship would approach America. They could feel the
wow.
presence of God.
Awesome.
Revival began aboard ship as soon as they began one ship, and they radioed in, send us a minister. And this presence could be felt. Now, some people thought, well, this can't be on both sides, you know, but it happened on both sides of the Civil War.
Wow.
Because of the bitter tensions of the Civil War, an unusually powerful, some thought, well, this can't go on both sides, but an unusually powerful revival broke out among the Southern troops stationed around Richmond, Virginia in the autumn of 1861. It began in the hospitals among the wounded men and then spread to the camps. Prayer meetings were organized. Hundreds were converted. The movement spread rapidly throughout the army, reaching the troops of Tennessee and Arkansas. Revival was encouraged by Generals Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, who were well-known Christians. By the midsummer of 1863, the revival had spread throughout all the Confederate armies, and lay missionaries went out among the troops. By the end of the war, at least 150,000 soldiers had been converted,
Ooh.
And more than a third of all the Southern troops had become praying men. Some thought, you know, it had started there in the North, it affected the North, but it affected the South. Think how many of them, Gloria, might have been killed during that war.
Oh, yeah.
And would have not, you know, joined our Lord in heaven.
That's right.
Had it not been for that great move of God.
Tell me those numbers again. By the end of the war.
By the end of the war, at least 150,000 soldiers had been converted, and more than a third of all the Southern troops had become praying men. The revival among Southern troops was primarily a revival of prayer, as it had been in the North. The best estimates, listen to this, are that 6.6% of the entire population of the United States was converted during the revival. The percentage among the Southern troops was higher. It was 21%. At least one-fifth of all of them came to know the Lord and got born again. So many of them were born again before the
Praise
war.
Praise God.
But that many came in. You see, God preserved us a nation, Gloria. I do not believe that without this prayer, we would have been preserved. I think the Civil War would have been the undoing of us. The strife. What does strife do?
Yes, that's right.
What does disunity in a house? It brings it down.
Yeah, that's right.
But through the leader that we had, Abraham Lincoln, and people praying for him, we were preserved a nation. I have a personal letter from my grandmother, whose son was my grandfather, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, great-great-grandmother. And she had come in contact with that revival. And she had a son that had moved to Wisconsin. And she wrote him a letter, and I've got a copy of it. And she said, "Son, find somewhere where they've got an altar." She described how it had hit and how his brother had come to the Lord and was now preaching.
Praise
and she
God.
Said, "You find a place. I don't know if I'll ever see you again, but you find a place where they got an altar and you can get to God."
Praise
they
God.
Prayed this in. It started as a prayer revival. We have to pray.
Yes, that's awesome. Doesn't that inspire you to pray?
It inspires me.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, the name of that, this book is what?
The name of this book is Revival Fire by Wesley Duell. D-U-E-W-E-L. Wesley Duell. The name of the book? Revival Fire.
D-U-E-L-L.
D-U-E-W-E-L.
D-U-E-W-E-L.
Wow. Oh, it's filled with good reports.
Praise God. Doesn't that stir you up to pray? Glory to God.
It's up to us.
It is, isn't it? Mm. The believers. Mm-hmm. I mean, people that pray in unbelief don't get anything done anyway. So it has to be, God has mercy on us, but it has to be believers praying and receiving, believing they receive something when they pray. Glory to God.
Believing it works.
Yeah. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.